Happy Friday. Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weinrub, joined as I am every Friday by FanSided's MLB Insider, Robert Murray, and joined on this particular Friday by FanSided.com's Cody Williams, who has a proclivity towards the Boston Red Sox. For all of our commenters who are saying this show is great, but the co-host is a jerk because he hates the Boston Red Sox. Well, guess what? You got an extra co-host and he loves him. Cody, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here, man. You know, I hate the Yankees just as much as you hate the Red Sox, but we love each other. And that's really what is important in life.
Yeah, we do. And I think actually that's an important point in my character witness defense. That, like, hey, guess what? I love some particular Red Sox fans. I wish Red Sox fans would just acknowledge that they act a lot like the Yankee fans that they despise so much. That's all. That's it. And that's all. We have very similar wants and needs and expectations. Maybe we'll get into it in a little bit. I am, of course, going to let Cody talk about and defend his Chad Sox, the Chad Tracy Red Sox. We're going to talk about plenty on this show. We really appreciate everybody joining us. Fun end of the week. Spencer Jones up in the Bronx. Obviously, I will discuss my expectations for him, but I want to ask Robert because I want to see what the people out there are saying. Plus, the questionable Roman Anthony injury news, potential trade movement, a weird injury woe in Chicago, and the one and only Fernando Tatis Jr., master of the hard hit, absolutely none in the home run department. Thanks for joining us on the show. Of course, you should subscribe to the Baseball Insiders newsletter. I heavily recommend it. Comes to your inbox twice per week. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, insight from Robert Murray. He opens up that vaunted notebook. Gives you a peek inside. Also, the best of FanSided's MLB staff writers popping in there as well. Again, Tuesday and Thursday, all you have to do is scan that QR code right on the screen. You should also join us in the Discord if you have not. If you're not a YouTube subscriber, you should do that as well. And then when you're there, you'll see the join button. You can join us at, I recommend the All-Star tier. That gets you access to private Q&A with Robert Murray on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. And of course, gives you the chance to bother us between shows, which you all take advantage of. And I thank you for doing that. Again, just if you're listening on audio, thank you. You know, rate, review 5 stars. If you're on video, we appreciate you joining us 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as the Prospect Show with Eric Cole on Tuesdays. Did I get it all out? Did I forget anything? Do I have anything else to plug? I think so.
You did great.
Yeah. I mean, you could leave 5 stars in the comments on YouTube too, just as a, you know, get some engagement in there.
Yeah, if you want to, again, engage, please, but only if you're – well, look, for this particular episode, if you're from Boston, you are allowed to engage. And if you're from New York, you're actually not. I actually don't want to hear from you. I don't really want to hear from – is it good for engagement to say I don't want to hear from any fans? Probably not. But look, we're moving on. Questions for Robert, questions for me, of course, questions, comments for Cody. Bring them on. Subscribe wherever you are, podcast platform, YouTube, et cetera. We'd love to see you, and we're building something fun for the summer months, of course, as we get closer to the trade deadline, and I will push Robert on a couple of potential trade topics today as well. But I want to get Robert's thoughts first on the New York Yankees splash call-up. Look, Jason Dominguez down in scary fashion, crashed into the wall, passed concussion protocol, reportedly, but a missed opportunity again, and another one in a long line of them for a guy who Giancarlo Stanton on the IL, not really even doing baseball activities yet. There's a runway here. Dominguez got hit with a pitch in the elbow last week, didn't hit the injured list, then banged into the wall, and now he goes down. Up comes Spencer Jones, who is definitely the highest impact option the Yankees had in the high minors to fill in here. They are 26-12. It is a soft runway for him. He does not have to carry the team. He does not have to be a star. He just has to hopefully play his high-grade brand of defense and run into one a few times. There are not very many prospects like Spencer Jones. The K rate and the power, it's like Joey Gallo and him. Upper minors, he's on a heater. They were calling him at the right time. 11 homers, minor league leading 41 RBI. But there is high variance here to say the least, Robert. And I'm wondering what people are saying around the league about Jones, who, by the way, now gets Jacob Mizorowski and Kyle Harrison in his first 2 starts.
Yeah, it's about time that he ended up getting called up. I remember last year around the deadline, it seemed like everybody across baseball was like, why are the Yankees not calling him up yet? And still, instead, they held on to him. I want to get into that here in a little bit. But he's obviously on a tear to start this season. The injury happened to Jason Dominguez, and he's getting his chance now. As you said, you're going to expect a guy who's going to have big power, but there's also going to be a lot of strikeouts in there. So you're going to have to be patient with him. He's a very talented hitter. He's not perfect by any means. But going back to last year, there was a few different people I talked to across the league who thought when he was super high, or when he was just tearing it up, that they should have maximized his value on the trade market, that they should have moved him, it wasn't going to be for anything like a Paul Skenes. Skenes was going nowhere. Those rumors were pretty unfounded. That was just, I don't know how that exactly got started, but there was people who thought the Yankees should have ended up going in and making a bigger splash, whether it was on offense, whether it was, I mean, in the bullpen, obviously they did a lot of the bullpen last year. Didn't necessarily work out like they had hoped, but he's getting his chance now. Is he guy that can be a long-term factor in that lineup, or can end up being a trade asset that they can use? Remains to be seen, but he's finally got his chance. And we might need to expect a few strikeouts in these first couple games against Kyle Harrison and Jacob Mizrowski, because they got swing and miss stuff. So again, be patient here for sure.
Yeah. That the funniest thing is, like, I can't sit here and be like, well, he actually performs well against high velo. Like, there's nothing I can cite that will indicate that, like, he's got the jump on Mizorowski. Like, it's going to be terrifying. I don't even know if he's going to start. It might just be like Jose Caballero in the outfield, or Bellinger, Grisham, Judge. You know, he's the fourth outfielder. He might be the DH. Like, I don't know how he's going to be used. I don't know if tonight's the night. Probably will be, just because of the pomp and circumstance around his call up. But this is more of a necessity rather than the Yankees saying, wow, we're great and we can get better with Spencer Jones. It's, we lost a guy on a freak accident, and the best option we have in the high minors is this dude instead of running Max Schumann out there every day. Cody, from a Red Sox perspective, when you see Spencer Jones, are you worried at all about his potential impact, or are you licking your lips a little bit thinking, like, this is another Yankee that we can meme?
I mean, it's a little bit of both, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I think, like, I have no doubt and a great fear that at Fenway Park, if he's still up on the big league roster, like, he's going to crank one into the bleachers at Fenway. And, like, that's just what the Yankees have done to the Red Sox over the past, since the wild card series, like this past the series earlier this year. But I also think that Spencer Jones, like you said, is not a perfect prospect. And, like, he's not being called up because he's, like, breaking down the door at every metric. Like, he's being called up out of necessity. So, like, there are going to be some moments, like, I assume this weekend against Mizorowski and Harrison, where he looks pretty bad. But there's also, like you said, there's going to be times where he cranks a ball 460.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real, tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
And you're going to be like, oh my God, the power on this kid is legit.
What really made me laugh was people treating the opinion that he could be a bust as novel. Like, there were a bunch of tweets that were like, I have a hot take, but I honestly don't know if Spencer Jones is going to succeed from the jump. And it's like, no, the same things that have plagued him throughout his whole career plagued him. This, he has a strikeout problem that he, I don't think, is going to be ever able to solve. If he succeeds in Major League Baseball, it's going to be against the odds, but the raw talent is unbelievable. And I guess we'll see. And like you said, the best case is he's got the defense, and there are some ridiculous home run highlights that we can appreciate and analyze. I do want to take it to the Red Sox. We've had a lot of Red Sox discussion on this show, and I'm eternally curious Robert's opinion of how they should proceed from certain areas of woe. Cody, you have the massive turnover on the coaching staff, managerial department. The outfield has always been clogged. Now, all of a sudden, there are some woes in the outfield that aren't just playing time related. Two-part question, your earnest assessment of the Chad Sox so far, Chad Tracy's new look Red Sox, and the Roman Anthony thing. Like, what are your expectations on, is he really going to miss the minimum amount of time on the IL, even though he doesn't appear to be doing baseball activities? He's in a hand brace. It might be hand, not wrist. And minimum amount of time, he'd be back in like 5 days. But that doesn't seem feasible to me.
Yeah, so I'll start with the Chad Sox portion of it. I do think there are some noticeable changes. I think we've seen a little bit more aggression on the base pass, which I know a lot of people were calling for. Alex Cora to have with the speed and athleticism that you see on this team. And I think some of the younger guys are responding better to Chad Tracy. Maybe that's the familiarity of playing with AAA, but I think we've seen Caleb Durbin actually like be not unusable of a baseball player since Chad Tracy took over the Red Sox. So like, I think there are positives, but there are also still a lot of problems that still exist regardless of who's managing this baseball team. Like, you're still not going to have a lot of home run power on this team. You've got Wilson Contreras and Willy Abreu, and you hope everyone else runs into one once a month. Like, that's kind of where the Chad Sox are right now. So like, I don't think it was necessarily a bad, like, we're in a bad spot with the managerial change, but I do think that the problems that exist still exist. Like, that's not going to change because of Chad Tracy. In terms of Roman Anthony, no. I mean, have you looked at a Red Sox injury report over the past 2 years? Like, they're always optimistic for the first week, and then you get an awful report. Like, that's how this goes. I expect Roman Anthony's probably going to be out for 2 weeks. Like, I don't think that they're necessarily lying to us that this is like not like, I don't think they're saying this is, they're hiding something serious behind this, but I do think that there is more going on. And if he's wearing a brace and not doing baseball activities, like, that's worrisome, because we have an example just in the past like couple weeks. Garrett Crochet goes on the IL with shoulder inflammation. They say, yeah, he could just miss the minimum amount of time as well on the 15-day IL. Well, he's just throwing from 60 feet and not on the mound, throwing on flat ground. So like, that looks like it's probably going to take longer than the minimum there as well. So like, that's kind of how the Red Sox operate, very frustratingly.
Yeah, it's like abundance of caution mixed with just the reality of this. Like, I agree with you. I don't think Roman Anthony is hiding something major and undiagnosed, but I do think they're being more cautious with the man himself than they are publicly, which is always odd. And welcome to the party. I mean, the Yankees do this too. It's insane when they just, Ben Rice isn't on the injured list right now. He's got a bruised thumb and a hand contusion. He just missed an entire series. Like, we're getting towards the halfway point of what an injured list stint would be. I don't think he's in disaster mode for the remainder of the season, but it is silly to be like, probably not an IL thing, but he's going to miss 8 days. It's like, well, that is an IL thing then, right? Couldn't we benefit from that being an IL thing? Robert, thoughts on what we have seen recently from the Red Sox, and given the, you know, the Roman Anthony injury and the new leadership in the dugout, though not necessarily in the front office, are you still expecting trade movement mid-season or this offseason in the Red Sox outfield? How do they handle this? Chad Tracy doesn't seem to like Masataki Yoshida much, which is a confusing wrinkle to throw in here, because it's like, do you showcase? Do you trade? Is that tradable? What do we do with this person? And he barely starts under Chad Tracy.
No, for sure. And there's a few different ways that I'm looking at this thing here. Is firstly, they may have held on to Jaron Duran a little too long. There was super strong interest in him in previous offseasons and previous seasons, where AJ Preller or some other team would have ended up giving him a lot of value, and that would have ended up looking like a stroke of genius in terms of selling high. As of this point, I can't make the argument for selling him now. Do you move a guy like Abreu? Do you move like whoever, like Yoshida? Like, what exactly do you do? I think they're going to end up getting a bunch of interest either at the deadline or in the offseason, but also at the same time, who's going to be running the show? Like, is it going to be Craig Breslow? Is it going to be somebody else? Because as Cody said, there's issues with this lineup. There's not enough power. It makes it really tough for the manager to end up constructing it on a daily basis. And that's even something that Breslow talked about after they fired Alex Cora. So that falls squarely on Breslow, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon, most likely. Do they go out at the deadline? Do they go out and get some more bats? This is also why I ended up really pounding the table for them to go get Kyle Schwarber or one of those big bats. I mean, you trade Rafael Devers and you save roughly about, what, $270, $280 million, somewhere in that range. You have the funds to go out and add a big bopper or two. They did not do that, and it's really biting them in the tushy right now. I mean, that's probably not the most official phrase that I've ever said, but it looks like a huge mistake and a huge oversight by Breslow, and it's costing them. Honestly, it was one of the reasons it cost Alex Cora his job, and yeah, they're paying the price for it this season. So I think they have to ask some very difficult questions in the offseason about leadership there, and if changing the entire operation is the right move to do.
Yeah, they managed to trade away the worst player in baseball in Rafael Devers and somehow not get better. It's very odd. Also, did you guys like what my voice did earlier when it was a deeply strange and odd, like a gurgle when I threw it to you guys for questions? I'm not going to let myself off the hook on that one. I don't know what the hell happened there, but I think it was the ghost of Red Sox past trying to get at me for asking these pressing questions about Sox future. I don't know. I mean, look, talk about weird shit. Matthew Boyd this week. Out in Chicago, injured himself sitting down to play with his kids, which is terrifying to me personally that that could happen. I guess it's called being 35. But even that surprise surgery did not seem to slow the Cubs down. As of now, they are running away with the Central and the NL Central, by the way, best division in baseball, not even particularly close. Very fun out there in the NL Central. Robert, how do they manage to continue to keep their foot on the gas pedal? How sustainable is that rise given the amount of pitching that they have already lost, and how can the Cubs maintain pole position in the Central?
Yeah, as far as the Cubs go, this is a really weird injury for Matthew Boyd. Like, he suffered, like, he ended up doing it while was it playing with his kid? Is that like picking up his kid or something like that?
I guess sitting down at the wrong angle, just tearing up that meniscus, like, that is a nightmare. That's nightmare.
Yeah, that's bad. And it also, too, it reminded me, I had to make sure I remember this correctly, but I want to make sure I'm reading this off correctly. I remember Jose Quintana, when he was with the Cubs, he ended up injuring his thumb while he was washing dishes. So they've had some pretty weird pitching injuries overall in Chicago. I don't know what's going on with that, but the Cubs still at this point look like the team that's absolutely the team to beat in that division. They are very strong. They had a bunch of pitching injuries, and yet they've still been able to overcome it. And I think also on the offensive side, Alex Bregman, besides like himself in that lineup, has had a huge impact in developing and helping these young hitters out. So overall, I'm extremely optimistic about what's to come here. I also think you can make the argument for the Cubs where at the deadline, this is the kind of year where, yeah, you send it at the deadline, you go all in, you add a big bat to that lineup and try to do your best to dethrone the Dodgers. Cause even though the Dodgers have that big, big lineup and that great team, they're still beatable. Like, we saw the Blue Jays come down to the wire last year. They're very beatable. I think the Cubs have a very strong opportunity here to dethrone the Dodgers in the National League. So if I was them, you get your pitching healthy, maybe you add another one at the deadline, but you really end up evaluating and seeing if you can land a big name. So that's, if I'm the Cubs, that's something I look at here pretty strongly for sure.
Yeah, the key to dethroning the Dodgers is just your closer not giving up a game time home run to Miguel Rojas with two outs to go before you win the World Series. Unbelievable. Yeah. So if you can just handle that, honestly, you can take the Dodgers to the wire and get the job done. Cody, the Cubs do seem to be running away and putting some distance between themselves and the rest of the division, but I'm sure it bothers all Cubs fans that the team right behind them is the Cardinals. A reminder that, like, oh, right, like, the Cubs Brewers was nice. Craig Counsell going, switching sides, ignited that a little bit, but the Cardinals are the real enemy. Since Robert and I did a show like a week ago, the Reds have plummeted down the standings. Mm-hmm. Since we called them one of the top five hottest teams in baseball last Friday, they're now losing division game after division game and in the toilet. Do you believe in the Cubs as the team to be in this division? And if so, who do you think is the real number two that's going to challenge them the most between the Cards, Brewers, Pirates, and I guess the Reds, because everybody's right up there?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe in the Cubs, and I think like Robert touched on some of that. Like, this young lineup, I think when you just look top to bottom down the lineup, they don't need everyone to be clicking on all cylinders at all time. Like, PCA has been a league average hitter, and he's still been a two war player almost at this point in the season. And like, that's the other part of it, is like, the defense that we're looking at with this team is, like, I think somewhat built to sustain some pitching injury, some like step back in pitching. And so, like, when I look at the Cubs, I just see a very well-built roster. Like, it honestly looks a lot like what Craig Breslow was trying to do with the Red Sox. It's just way, way better done. Almost like the Red Sox should have just, you know, re-signed Alex Bregman. Who could say? But regardless of that, I do think, like, when I look at the Central, it's really hard to know who the teams are, because, like, the Cardinals weren't expected to be in this position, and you're still trying to figure out how real that is. I do worry that the Cardinals pitching is going to come back to bite them at some point this season. Like, I just don't believe in a lot of this pitching staff. So I would still say the Brewers are the team that I think has the most consistency, that I think they're going to be there challenging the Cubs at the end. I would still go with the Brewers in that capacity.
That's right. But Robert, I mean, Cardinals fans right now, I think a lot of Cardinals fans are tuning in being like, I didn't expect to pay attention to Cardinals baseball in May. And I am like, how sustainable is what they're doing? And even if the answer is like, they will not contend, they will not reach the postseason. Like, I do feel like we have maybe crossed a checkpoint where it feels fair to say they're going to be this good all year.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic about them being a postseason team, but what I am optimistic about is their long-term outlook. This was the year where they wanted to give their young guys a chance. They didn't want to have anybody block them. That's why they ended up moving on from Nolan Arenado and a bunch of these other veteran players, because they wanted to give these guys a chance. And lo and behold, you see J.J. Weatherholt really taking a grasp of that spot there. Jordan Walker looks like a new player. These young guys are really taking advantage of the opportunity. And we're looking at a team now where it's not going to be this year that they contend, but next year, maybe they can end up, making some noise, or even the year after that. But this is the team where they wanted to have the new players start building that foundation. They're going to continue to add to it. And I think Chaim Bloom is the perfect guy to do this, because he was trying to do that in Boston, where he had all these young guys. Obviously did not end up working out there. But he's learned from his mistakes. He's learned from there. And I think he's going to apply those and be better in St. Louis. So I'm very optimistic about what's to come there. And I think they have the perfect guy and also a really good manager who has been under some scrutiny in previous years. I think he's got a good grasp of that clubhouse. So I'm optimistic about what's to come there.
Well, speaking of both of you, the Cardinals are playing the San Diego Padres right now. And this is, time, date, accurate, Friday, May 8th. We're still up to date here. Fernando Tatis Jr., fourth best hard hit rate in all of baseball, worst number of home runs in all of baseball, tied with Robert Murray and Cody Williams and Adam Weiner with a fat zero in the dinger department. I'm going to ask time, date, when do we finally see the first Fernando Tatis Jr. home run of the season? And also, what the hell is going on? I'll go Robert first. Prediction.
I'm going this weekend. Give me May 10th. I think that's my prediction. What do you got, Cody?
Oh, I'm going a day earlier. I'm going May 9th because Dustin May, who I am well familiar with, is on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, no. See, terrible. Can I change mine?
Yeah. tied for May 9th. Dustin may become the first victim. Robert, is this concerning to see what is going on? I mean, obviously it is, but is it concerning beyond what the hell and more trending towards, like, did he tweak something? Because the hard hit rate would seem to indicate that nothing has changed here. But, I mean, the zero on the board is – we can't call it small sample size noise anymore. It's May 8th.
No, it's definitely concerning to me. Like, there's no other way of putting it. Cause you look at his previous seasons, he's had 42 homers, 25 homers, 21 homers, then 25 homers. Like, there's power in that bat. And yet this year, through over a month, he's got none. His OPS plus is 75 right now, which is by far the worst of his career as a below league average hitter at this point. So I think there's definite concern there, but also if you're the Padres, you're doing as well as you are right now with Fernando Tatis Jr. struggling. Like, he is not the same player that he's been. If he's hurt, maybe he can end up getting better as the season goes on, as he gets healthier. But to me, this is a team where if he starts clicking, that they can end up making a really big splash there in the National League West. Do I think they're going to end up dethroning the Dodgers in that division? No, but I do expect Fernando Tatis Jr. to be better. There's no way it can be worse at this point. He's going to start hitting homers. They're going to start coming in bunches. Game of baseball is very hard. We're seeing Cal Raleigh struggle. We're seeing some of these other guys struggle as well. It happens, but I think it'll be fun.
The Padres are nipping at the Dodgers' heels. Cody, the Rays are on an insane heater, and they've allowed so few runs in recent weeks that they are now entering the conversation with the 2010 Giants and an Astros World Series. Like, only three teams have ever had this good of a pitching streak, and the other two have won the World Series. Between the Padres and Rays, the team your Red Sox are dealing with right now, which of these surges feels more sustainable to you?
Sustainable is an interesting word, because, like, sustainable, I would say the Rays. Higher upside, I would say the Padres, because I think those are two different questions. The Rays to me feel a lot like the Guardians. This feels like Guards ball in a lot of ways, where you're relying on a lot good pitching and then run production with maybe one or two power bats that you're really scared of in terms of Junior Caminero and Yandy Diaz in that lineup. Like, Jonathan Aranda has not been as consistent as he was last year so far this year. And so, like, you're like looking at high points in the lineup and then guys who are going to, you know, bunt a guy over, bunt or try to make something happen with their speed with Chandler Simpson and guys like that. Williamson, who's been really good for them. And like, I think that works, but when you get in the postseason, I don't know how that well that works. Whereas the Padres, I think you might have a little bit more ups and downs in terms of like their, you know, hot streaks this year, but if they get into the playoffs and they're hot, I think their hot is going to could carry them a lot further in the postseason.
The most enjoyable player in baseball in this moment in time. Yeah. I mean, check back. We're going to probably keep talking about him and talk about them because when we are seeing the things that we're seeing right now, it's impossible to ignore. Thank you for joining us here on the Baseball Insiders on this beautiful Friday. Cody Williams, really appreciate your time. Robert Murray, really appreciate your insight. Anything in the notebook that we forgot to touch on?
So there is one thing. I had a nice conversation with Brent Suter yesterday, who's one of the players who's going to be a big part of the CBA negotiations. And he told me that the initial talks, the first conversations that they're going to have are going to be at some point next week. Do I expect a deal to be reached then and there? Like, no. This is going to be a pretty drawn out process for sure. But at least the initial conversations are going to start happening then. And then we'll see exactly where she goes from there.
I thought you were going to say that you talked to him and the initial conversations were great, but I will take the initial conversations are scheduled also as good news. Appreciate everyone joining us again. Hit that join button. We'll see you in the Discord. If you're not there, subscribe to the newsletter by scanning that QR code. It'll be in your inbox every Tuesday and every Thursday with potential breaking news additions as well. Until next time here on the Baseball Insiders, we really appreciate your time. Join us on podcast platforms, wherever your favorites may be. We're going to be there. Join us on YouTube Monday, Wednesday, Friday with occasional fun guests as well, like fansider.com's Cody Williams. So we really appreciate everyone hanging out, and we'll catch you next week here on the Baseball Insiders.